good to see each and every one of you here. We're studying about little gods. And it couldn't be much littler, could it? What about these little gods? Sandy. What about little gods? That, what? That's right. Demons are little gods. Is that right? How about it? Is that right, Brother Gray? Yes, demons means little God. The work of demons. John, do you believe in demons? I'm okay. Have you ever seen one? I never have either. Now, I've had people tell me they've seen demons, but the Bible says demons are not visible, are they? There are going to be some spirit-like creatures in the book of Revelation that will become visible in the tribulation period. We're going to study about them, what they do. But as far as we know today, that demons are just not visible. You know, many people today, they work on people that are superstitious. You know, the Apostle Paul told those people at Athens they were too superstitious. He said, you fear demons, you don't fear God. We need to fear God, not demons. There are many people in the world today that fear demons. They fear black cats. They fear frogs. They fear the moon when it's at a certain stage. They fear vampires. They fear werewolves. They wear garlic around their neck. So werewolf on the bottom of the neck. And there are all of these kinds of things. Now that may seem funny, but this is real that I'm talking about. Real. And they don't fear God. That's the only problem. They just don't fear the one that is to be feared. The Lord told us Himself not to fear even the person that can take you and kill the body, but to fear God, who after He kills the body, He can destroy the soul also. Of course, that soul is not destroyed, it's eternal, but it goes into the lake of fire for eternity, doesn't it? And it's the same as destroyed. I mean, it's worthless. It's tormented forever and ever. It'd be much better for that individual if he ceased to exist, but he won't. We're eternal beings. The work of demons. Demons lead out in moral impurity. Moral impurity. Now in Matthew, the 12th chapter, actually the 10th chapter, verse 1. Let's go there first. Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Boy, it makes me mad when I see them put a personal pronoun in the Bible when it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and not capitalized, and mine isn't. Bothers me, because He's God. All right. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. This was for a purpose, wasn't it? What was it? What purpose, Sandy? You remember what purpose this was for them to heal all sicknesses and disease? And He gave these 12 disciples. That's right. That was His messianic credentials. He was giving them power, and He showed the people in that area, not only have I the power to heal diseases, to cast out and control demons, but I can even give it to others. You know, I take the power. He had power to give power to someone else. That's right, give someone else the authority to do this. And they had the authority from God Himself to do these things. And you might say, well, did Judas do that? Well, as far as we know, he did. Can you imagine that? That's what it says there. Yet he was lost. Okay, Matthew 12 now. Yes.
Well, what does it say there, though? How many? The 12. The 12. No, there's no accounts of him personally doing that, but he did give these and they went out and did it. And that's what it says there, so we just have to take that for fact, don't we? Okay, Matthew 12 now. In verse 43. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Now a demon desires to live in human flesh, or animal flesh. We know that. And they are not happy unless they are dwelling in flesh. Many people think that these were in the age back in eternity when God created the earth. They think that these beings had bodies originally. I don't know. I don't have any idea. I don't know. Let's be honest with you. People say, well, they had bodies. I don't know. They could have had bodies. Many people take the Word of God and they'll look through it like this and they'll study it out and everything. They say, well, because of their actions, maybe they had bodies. Maybe in this pre-Adamic age, they had bodies and God has destroyed them. And now they are disembodied spirits, seeking whom they may indwell. Now, that's possible. But I don't know. That's just a theory. Other people think that they were angels. Well, I don't think they were angels because angels are different. The Bible speaks of angels in a different way, and they speak of demons here, and they speak of angels in another place. Some people think they interchange. But what are demons? I know one thing, they're demons. The Bible does. Yes, Margaret. Well, we're going to get into that just in a little bit. We'll get into that right in the next point. Okay? And the next point tells us about that. All right. These demons seek flesh to dwell in. And so then he says, and I will return into my house from where I came out, and when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and cleaned. Holly, what in the world is this talking about? This is talking about a person that has cleaned their life up religiously. They're not saved. They've cleaned their life up religiously. You know, people can go out into the world and they can become religious people. They can even become preachers sometimes in some of these organizations. They can get up there and preach, yet they're not saved. You know, because the doctrines and things they're preaching are not the salvation of God, but it's preaching either for men or for ego, for their own, for money. Well, this person cleans his life up. Well, the evil spirits, he says, he cleans it up real nice like. Even Jesus, at times, he cast demons out of people. You go one man one time, he said, you go and you don't sin like you did before unless something worse happens to you. He told, remember? John? In the book of John, he told a man that. Then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He said, you people have religiously swept your house out. Israel did. Boy, I mean, they lived by stringent laws of Moses sent them. But did it do them any good? They were before God as religious hypocrites, Pharisees. And Jesus, in several chapters of the New Testament, said, woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. He said, you go out and you kill God's prophets.
And then you go and paint your grave and say, this is a false prophet of God. Can you imagine that? Going out and stoning the man of God and then going out and taking a great big tomb out there and making him big tomb. Says, oh, this was Zechariah, the prophet of Malachi. And they put his name on there in beautiful scroll letters and inlay it with gold and polish his tomb up. They get out there and they polish the rocks or they paint them with a whitewash. And they're the ones that killed him. The man was killed prophesying. Because he prophesied, he was killed. Jeremiah, you know, they knocked his teeth out. They throwed him in a mud hole. Slapped him, beat him, abused him. They finally said they probably chopped his head off. Why? Because he was prophesying to these people that the Lord's talking about here. These religious people, because they wouldn't come to the Lord, wouldn't come to the Lord's salvation. When people seek their own salvation, their own opinions of what salvation is, there's no hope. Jesus said that person is 10 times worse in the end than he was when he began. Okay, Acts. No, Luke. Let's go to Luke first. Luke, the 4th chapter. First. 33-36. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. This is verse 31. And he taught them in the Sabbath days, literally, is what it says, during the Sabbath days. Now, in the Old Testament, I'd like to bring this out at this time. In the Old Testament, people did not worship God on the Sabbath. Israel never worshiped God on the Sabbath. Did you know that? Everybody thinks, well, they go to church on the Sabbath. Well, Israel, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist says, you don't go to church on Saturday, you're going to go to hell. Seventh-day Baptist. Seventh-day. My soul to keep on talking. Just to hear this a little bit. The Seventh-day Church of God. All these people keep on saying that if you don't take the Sabbath and worship God on the Sabbath, set it aside. If you break the Sabbath, you can't be saved. Well, that's not what God taught.
The Sabbath day was a holy day. They would sit around at home. They would worship God in their own home. They would read the Bible. They would set it aside as a day of rest. God knew those people needed rest. Well, they went out and worked 6 days, and they needed rest more.
So God gave them a day to rest. Now, when did they worship God? What? No. They started on Sunday, and they worshiped God the rest of the week. That's right. They worshiped Him all week. They took sacrifices to Him. They worshiped Him this way every day during the week. That a Sabbath day. Took a day off. But the rest of the days, they worshiped the God. Boy, I mean, they were called to breakfast by God in the morning. They got up and they read the Scriptures in the morning before breakfast. They sat down and they had prayer in their home.
And boy, when they thought they needed to, they wanted to improve. And they were always centering their lives around the tabernacle of God during the time of Moses.
Worshipping God every day. Now we've got people, and of course, when did all this start, this Sabbath worship? You remember when Israel was carried off into the Babylonian captivity because of sin? They were afraid that they would lose their national identity. So what did they start doing?
They started building little places of going together, and they started storing scriptures there, and then you get out the window. No, they weren't like what we have here today. Some of them were, but by majority they weren't.
They would have a small temple. And in that temple would be stored the scriptures of God. And they had scribes that would work in those temples, and they did nothing but write the Word of God. When they would finish writing a book,
They would go down and have a rabbi look at it, would count every letter in it, and I mean it had to be perfect. They would stamp an approval, and they would read this. Every male member of the Hebrew, the Jew, in their towns where they would get up every Saturday then. This is when they started working God on Saturday during the captivity. They would bring out, and they would have a deacon type of guy who would go in and bring the scriptures out, and he was going to take care of the house, the synagogue. He would come out there, and he would hand these scriptures to this guy, and before these synagogues were usually two pillars, and there was a table up there and a chair. He would read these scriptures. He would either set these scriptures down on the table or hand them back to the deacon. He would take them down. He would sit down in the chair and he would teach concerning the scriptures. This was his responsibility as an adult male of Israel. He would teach the scriptures. Now this is when they started worshiping on the Saturday. Now we have this situation here. Luke, the 4th chapter. Starting with verse 31. Came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and they taught them during the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his teaching, or his doctrine there, for his word was with a power, authority. Now he didn't say, Rabbi so-and-so said this, who is this and guy said this, but he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, or not the Lord Jesus Christ, but he would say, Jehovah God said this in his word. This is what it said. You know, that's the way we ought to be today. Thus saith the Lord. You know, Amos said that 47 times, I believe it was, in the book of Amos. Thus saith the Lord. Who can hold back? Who can but prophesy? Thus saith the Lord. The Lord has spoken. He spoke this word with power and with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean what? Look there. Having a spirit of a demon. Not of a devil. There is only one devil, isn't there? There are many demons, but there's only one devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, now, this is what he said in verse 34. He said, Yah! That's what that demon said. Yah! That's the cry of a demon. Yah. And you know what? There are two syllables in the charismatic movement that they use more than anything else, an E and an A. And this is E-A. Yah. That's exactly what it is. The two syllables most used in the charismatic movement is the cry of the demon. He shouted out in a voice great, Yah, what to us and to you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know that you're the Son of God. Well, look at there. We know who you are. You know the demons knew who Jesus was. Satan knew who Jesus was when he tempted him. He knew exactly who he was. Absolutely. And he rebuked him and he said, I'm going to grab you by the nose and muzzle you. Have you ever seen anybody grab a wild dog and muzzle him? That's exactly what Jesus said, I'm going to do to you. He said, I'm going to catch you like a wild dog and I'm going to shut your mouth up. I'm going to screw it closed. That's what he did do. He shut these demons up. We know that you're the Holy One, the Son of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, literally this man collapsed within himself. He came out of him and he hurt him not. All these people were amazed and astonished. And they said, what in the world's happened? We've never seen anything like this before. This man has power over demons. He has power over demons. Boy, these people were scared to death of demons. You know, the Muslims are so afraid of demons, the Arab people, the Muslims over there in the Sierra Desert and through that area, that when they spit, they say, "Oh, excuse me." I was afraid they might spit on one. They're afraid. Superstitious. Well, it says here also that many times filthy, raving conduct, babbling, and screaming, insanity, is many times caused by demon influence. Revelation, the 16th chapter and verse 13. We also skipped the place there where this man was screaming and hollering and foaming at the mouth and just screaming and just raving. And Jesus came up and controlled him. All right, Revelation 16 and verse 13. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." Well, you know, I have had people honestly say that they saw frogs jump out of people's mouths. Well, I only saw one frog jump out of a person's mouth.
I better not even say that. She's going to kill me.
I knew a little girl used to kiss frogs. Anyway, these people, I've talked to people, and they literally said that they have seen frogs jump out of people's mouths that were demons, you know. This was the materialization of them. And they would jump out, and they would say, and the preacher would say, "Now bow your head, watch out, he's swooping around. Here he goes flying over the congregation. Now don't you look up, he'll get you." "There he goes out that window." So on and so forth. I mean, really, literally, these things happen. This is an old
thing that many charismatic old demon captain meetings they used to have. You ever heard of a demon captain service?
John, have you ever been to a demon casting service?
Never have.
Margaret, you have. When you was a little bitty kid. I know, because I have gone to them. Well, they're wild. These people get up there, and I mean, they get to stomping the floor so hard that the house gets to rocking. Well, instead of going to the dance hall, they went to church that night, you know. I mean, so they have to, you know, get the all that excess energy out of their system, the old, good old stomping time, and go down there and stomp around the church house. God said that He wanted His things to be done decently and ordered, didn't He? He wanted His services to be carried on decently and in order. Well, many times these people say, well, and they use this scripture right here. They saw spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, who is the dragon?
Now, this is figurative language, isn't it? What happened here? Now, what do you think, Brother Johnson, happened here? Now, tell me what your opinion of the scripture is. What do you think?
I thought okay. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's look at some more figurative language. The book of Revelation is a book of very figurative language, isn't it? Do we all agree with that? All right, the Bible says the Lord shall slay all of those people with the sword of His mouth. Now, the Lord is going to run around during the tribulation period with a sword in His mouth and go, "Hoo, hoo, hoo, hoo." Well, is that what He's going to do, Judy? What's He going to do? What's He going to do? With the sword of His mouth. What does that mean? Oh, that's right. When He speaks, it will be done. How did God create the heavens and earth, Brother James? Spoke them into existence. So now let's look and see what it's talking about Satan here. And we have to, don't
forget about the old demon casting meetings, you know, because that's probably come out of people's mouths. Now let's look and see what the Bible's talking about, okay?
Sometimes you have to just completely forget before you can understand. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now what happened here? Wait just a minute. Huh?
No, come on now. What does it mean? By the authority of Satan say, you go do this. What's he doing? He's sending them. By the authority of his mouth, he's sending these spirits out.
Now, did they come out of his mouth literally? Demons don't dwell within Satan. They have their own places of being. But by the authority of his mouth, he sent these demons out to carry out his will. And what does a frog look like?
You ever had an old speaking frog? I mean, that was, the biblical days when this Bible was being written. I mean, a frog was an unclean creature.
Unclean. So what is he saying here? There are some filthy creatures being sent out by Satan to do his work. Filthy, unclean, immoral creatures being sent out to do Satan's work by the authority of his mouth. All right. Now, the next time that somebody tells you they saw a frog jump out of somebody's mouth and a demon cast a meeting, would you take this scripture and explain it to them and tell them what it means? I'm counting on you then. All right. Sexual sins are also demon-influenced. Leviticus 18th chapter, verses 6 through 30. You can read these on your own. All right. Demons are the authors of false doctrine. 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, verse 21 through 24. We won't go here. We find out that a demon was sent out to influence a certain person, and he was a false demon. I mean, these people thought they were prophesying by the Spirit of God, and they were going to do a duty for God. These false spirits were being sent out to influence people. They were demon spirits. And they were doing God's will. I'll get into that, and I'll preach a whole sermon on that one point right there later on. So I won't go into that one right now. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2. Margaret asked me a question a while ago. Do I think people are influenced by demons when they're in false religious systems? Let's see what the Bible says. Now we beseech you, this is verse 1. Brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's talking about the rapture there, and our and by our gathering together unto Him, or our being gathered up to Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by what? Spirit. Now, can even a child of God be influenced by demon spirits? Well, if it wasn't so, the Lord wouldn't put it down in His Word, would He? Be soon shaken? Who is He calling these people? Brethren, even, isn't He? Now, if children of God can be influenced if they let themselves by demons, now what is happening out in the religious world where people are willingly being carried away by these doctrines? Who's doing it? Who's the author of these false doctrines? Satan, his demonic powers. Now, I don't fellowship those type of people because I am afraid of them. Be simple with it. I don't like demons because I know what they are and what they can do. And I don't want to have any part with people that are in that part, in that mess. Now, I have some very good friends that are in different Pentecostal meetings and things like that, and people that I think a lot of as human beings. But I do not fellowship with them because they are in this, and I don't want to get around them. Because I don't like demons. Never have. Never will. And I know what's guiding them. I may talk over the telephone with them. I'll tell them about the Word of God, but I don't want to get around. I don't even want them touching me. Because I don't like it. I'm not being silly. I know what I'm talking about. Because I have read the Word of God. And I know how well. Well, Brother Jim, you just don't run out there and grab a... You see electrical wire hanging down from the telephone pole? I wonder if that thing's hot. Do you? When you see fire and sparks flying from it? When you know what's causing and influencing these people, you don't grab the tiger by the tail. Or you may end up being his lunch. Probable. No, I don't. If you've got friends, family, or whatever in these movements, I would say avoid them. I really would. Avoid them. Because you can be touched by these things. You can be influenced by these things. You can even be controlled by them, because it says in here, brethren, what? Who's it talking about here? The brethren, those that are saved, those that are members of New Testament churches. And if you leave yourself open, if you walk out in front of a firing range, you may get shot. So be steer clear, is what it says. Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Now he says there are spirits that can go out that can influence you, that may even call themselves a spirit of God. There are people doing this today. Remember I told you a while ago, what is the scream of a demon? Yeah. What are the two words that are most pronounced in talking in tongue terms? E and A. Those are the two. Now where do you think it's coming from? If it's not from God, where is it? Satanic. Alright, let's go to another scripture. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Let's look at this in the original language. Now the Spirit says in beautiful words, plainly spoken, that in the last seasons shall stand away from the truth some, the faith, giving heed, being led off, and closely held on to by spirits that are leading them astray or wandering, teaching them doctrines of demons. Now, who is it talking about here? Is this warning the Campbellites? I don't think so. How about the Pentecost? How about the church of the Latter Day and Church of Jesus Christ of Latter Day Saints? No, it's not. Not talking about Herbert Armstrong or even old Garner Ted back in Tyler, Texas. Anybody else is talking about the Lord's churches. You pay attention. You pay attention. Because there are people that are going to be led astray by demons. If you will allow yourself, you can be demon influenced. That's right. If you allow yourself, you can be demon influenced.
demons oppose children of God in their spiritual progress and maturity. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 12. I've read this scripture many times. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities? Against powers, against the rulers of darkness. What's it talking about? Demons. Satan. Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are some times in your life that it's not all your flesh giving you the trouble, it's demons. Right. Demons are a powerful force, but they're not more powerful than Satan or God. Demons are not more powerful than God. If we have God on our side, we have the victory. But if you don't, you don't have it. A person that is lost out in the world today is guided, influenced, and controlled. They're nothing but imps of Satan himself. I've said many times, they think they're doing their own thing. They're not doing their own thing. They're doing Satan's thing. We study tonight that Satan's demons are immoral. They are blasphemous. They cause temporary insanity. There was a man back in New York this last week that went crazy on his job and started running into people's cars.
Could that be demonic influence? Sure, could be. Remember I told you here a while back that you would see more and more of this in America, because America is becoming more and more pagan.
America is becoming more and more pagan, and the further away they travel from God, the more demon and demonic influence you're going to see. I wonder why. Homosexualities are being recognized as somebody today. Demonic influence in governmental high places, that's why. You know that milk up there in San Francisco that was killed here a while back? He was a homosexual. The Bible calls him a dog. A dog. And you know what they did? They're going to put another one right back in his place. That great woman, doctor and writer, said here a couple of weeks ago that she couldn't see any reason why that they didn't let these type of people teach in school. She didn't think that harmed anybody. You can cite hundreds of cases where teachers have. Who's right? Statistics, facts, or her? I don't care what anybody says, if the government jumps up and says we ought to give these people equal rights, we should not, because the Bible says we shouldn't. Those people are reprobates. They are demonically influenced. They are led. And remember I told you about those sins in Leviticus? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about and dealing with things today from the Word of God. Now you're more aware. I hope you never go out and vote for something like that, because it's not of God. And people will try to influence you and say, well, they have rights like everybody else. Well, they got the same right to be saved or lost and go to hell. If they'll come to God and repent of their sins, they'll no longer be that way. And God will accept them. And then if they want to teach, I'll be gung-ho right behind them. But I don't want something like that teaching my children. Demons oppose children of God. Next one, we'll come up with a 6th point next week. Next Sunday night. I hope that you're learning something from these studies on demonism. Now, this will be the last time for a long time that I'll be
preaching on these things. And I want you to, if you miss one of these classes or something, we're going to have them in the library, the tape library. I brought about 14 or 15 tapes today and put in the library for you to use. Now, that library is for you. The church buys those tapes, and I put those tapes in there for your use, for your learning. You have no excuse. If you miss a service, you can take it home and learn it. We've got a tape recorder or two tape recorders. I don't remember how many. Or somebody else can loan you one. You can learn these lessons because you need them. You need to learn the Word of God. Do you want to stand as a child of God in this world today that is influenced and becoming more and more influenced by Satan himself as he gets ready to rule this world? You know that Satan's going to be ruling this world soon for a while. He's going to be doing it. You better be ready. We may have to get into a little bit of that before the Lord comes back. You're going to have to stand. I want to give you an invitation tonight. If you're here tonight and lost, you have no hope. Only when you're saved do you have hope in God. If you're a child of God tonight, you ought to give your life to Him in service. You want to be happy? You want to have the joy that God, only God can give you? You're going to have to do it in service to God. You need to be aware of these things in the Word of God. Let's stand. Brother Joseph, what song do you have?
396.
I just wonder if the church would think about, and maybe even some of the younger ministers, maybe
bringing a devotional.
Thank you.